And now, ladies and gents, more Toolbox with Joe and Raven.
Oh, my goodness. That puts us at 1947, when the Tucker sedan was the first car with the padded dashboard.
There you go.
And up until now, they've just been using metal and wood to stop people. And adding the padded dashboard, it was aimed to reduce face and chest damage when hit in the front.
Makes sense.
Again,
you'd rather hit a pad with your face than
and then metal and wood.
Metal and chrome.
In 1949, the first ever crash test dummy was created by Samuel W. Alderson, called Sierra Sam, which was used for aviation, for airplanes first, not cars.
Whoa, they're crash testing airplanes?
Apparently.
Where are those videos? I've seen hundreds of car crash videos. Like, where are they?
They're not going to let us know that they do this. But that was a little tidbit I happened to find. Alderson then created a crash test dummy for motor vehicles in the early 50s.
Different one.
A different dummy. So he first, in 49, he created his first crash test dummy for airplanes. And then in the early 50s, he created one for vehicles. He thought, hey, we could probably use this instead of people in cars.
I don't know. How would it be different? I guess one didn't have wings.
No, I think that car, there was always a slight possibility the person would survive, but crashing an airplane, there was no possibility of surviving. So I think that's why they were like, yeah, we'll use the dummy for the airplanes and a person for the car.
The airplane was just like a sack of flour with a smiley face on it. Like, yeah, that's Crash Test Sam.
But that ends with me in the 50s.
Oh, well, I'm picking up in the 50s. So, vehicles in the 50s would generally have a rating of 0 stars compared to today's rating system.
Yeah.
There was... Oh, of course I can't read my own handwriting. There was no standard testing procedures or safety requirements at all. Like... They could make a car in the shape of an axe, and you drive around, no problem. You might be able to do that today. I didn't look that up. It was common to see vehicles with metal dashboards and no form of seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you were in a crash, you'd just be thrown into metal or out of the windshield. I don't know which one would be best case scenario. Either way, it's probably not fun.
Depends on how fast you're going.
That being said, both would be terrible.
I mean, but if you're only going like 20 miles an hour, like, you probably break your nose hitting the windshield.
Death.
But like, if you're going 60 miles an hour and you get thrown out the vehicle.
You get thrown past the crash and you land safe.
No, I think that'd be instant death. I think you'd survive a crash at 20 versus 60.
No, not back in the day.
Really?
If you broke your nose back in the
slower,
day.
Oh,
if you broke your nose in the 50s, they'd cut it off. That's the only way we could fix it.
I forgot what time period we were in.
We're going to have to cut your nose off.
that was where the version of I got your nose came from.
Yeah, and then like the doc would be like, thought it'd grow back. Oh, well, you want it?
Is that where lizard people came from?
Oh my god. It's just people that hit their face on metal dashboards.
Oh my god.
We're not listening to you.
You ain't got no nose.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That being said, in the 1950s, lap belts were starting to make their way into vehicles. It was not mandated. Mm-hmm. And these seat belts, I did put lap belts. Yeah, they're not like the normal seat belts you put on. They would just hold your waist, so when you did crash, it would just snap your back and throw your face into the dashboard.
I think that'd be worse than not wearing the seatbelt.
Yeah, it would just...
Your whole self sliding forward.
Just sling your face into the dash.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so...
Oh, my God.
That's probably why a lot of people were like, yeah, I'm not...
Wearing a seatbelt. Jesus.
In 1956, so this kind of... I don't know what the word is. This is different than what you said. Mm-hmm. So in 1956, Ford introduced the lifeguard safety system. Doesn't have to do with swimming.
I was about to say, what is that? I don't think I've ever heard of that.
No, neither did I. This was a safety pack that could be optioned for $9 or $105 today. Yeah. Which, honestly, that's not too bad. Well,
that still sounds like kind of crazy.
Oops. Oh, yeah, the price difference in 50 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like when people are like, oh, man, I used to get paid $9 an hour. It's like, bro, that's $100 an hour today. But, yeah, so the lifeguard safety system added lap belts, breakaway rearview mirrors. I guess the non-breakaway ones would kill you.
I was going to say, why would they? Okay.
And a padded dash.
Oh.
Like the Tucker.
Oh.
It's an option. I think the Tucker was standard.
Oh, so you didn't have to. Okay.
Yeah, so it's option. And you could also option a deep centered steering wheel.
Oh, I have something in here about
that.
Yeah,
and it would stop, like, it'd be less deadly that way. I guess before they just had spikes coming out where the horn would be.
Again, all the gears and whatnots and levers.
Yeah, and this would help with impalements from your steering wheel.
Oh, look, I've been impaled.
Yeah. That's pretty much all I had for the 50s. There is a popular video of a 1959 Bel Air being crash tested against a 2009 Malibu that shows you the difference. I don't know why.
Was it just rich people crashing cars? Because I know back in the day those were very expensive cars.
No, it was one of the crash test things. I don't know why they had, maybe like.
Why did they use a Malibu and a
Bel Air?
Bel Air, yeah.
Same.
Those are such nice cars. Why wouldn't they just use two pickups?
Yeah, well, I guess they wanted to show, like, the safety. I feel like they could have did it without ruining a classic.
Yeah.
And this thing, was immaculate.
Those are really nice cars for back in the day.
Like, looking at the video, it almost looks like it was donated in 1959 and just kept there. And then it was like, oh, I guess we're just going to have to crash into a Malibu.
I swear to
we're
God.
We're just going to take this thing out. But yeah, that's all I had for the 50s.
I'm picking up in the 1960s, where some of the worst safety features in cars were in the 1960s. Unpaddled metal surfaces, blunt knobs and rods, steering columns that could impale occupants, and also push-button transmissions that caused mechanical failures and safety occurrences.
Push-button transmissions in the 60s are so satisfying.
I didn't know that was in the 60s. I thought that was only like early 2000s.
No.
I didn't know that was such an old thing.
My granddad, he had an old Chrysler, and it was park, neutral, reverse, drive.
That's crazy.
And when you pressed him, it was like, clunk! Like, it was like the most satisfying click.
But because of this, the 60s also saw a boom in car safety rules, which was the seat belts, head restraints, and among other features. They're like, wow, we got a lot of ways people are dying.
No more low back seats.
Yeah, so let's come up with some ways. I'm also guessing this is also when they started saying you need to strap your kids down in car seats back in the day. Instead of just letting them sit in the back of a rumble seat.
Have you ever seen pictures of, like, the original car seats?
The things that are just metal bassinets.
Yeah, it's just a metal box that would hang from the seat.
Yeah, have you seen the window boxes?
Yeah.
For apartments in the cities? They were like, when your kid wants some fresh air,
kid needs some fresh air, we're just going to hang them from the window.
I don't want to walk 6 flights of steps downstairs so my kid could go play outside. I'll just hang them out the window instead.
The elevator could kill us on the way down. That's too dangerous. Have you seen the old elevators that don't stop?
Oh my God, I have. They have those still in some places.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. Like, oh my, I don't think people are smart enough to, like, use those anymore.
I wouldn't trust it.
It was sketchy enough back in the day, like, but people nowadays, they be thinking they're cats. And they try and hop them up on an elevator. Oh, help with the population. topic. So, in 1963, the interior reel seatbelt was introduced by Excelsior Motor Company, allowing the seatbelt to readjust to the passenger's preference, and intermediate wipers were also introduced. So
Yeah,
those were first introduced in 1963.
I think they made a movie about the invention of intermediate wiper blades, if I'm not mistaken.
Whole movie just about wipers?
A drama.
Really?
Yeah, because this guy worked at Ford, and he invented intermittent wiper blades, and then Ford started making the wiper blades, and he didn't get credit for it. And, you know, it was like a huge thing. They made a movie about it, but I didn't see the movie. I don't know what it's called. If someone has seen that movie and knows what it's called, let us know.
What if it's called Wiped Out?
Nah. Gosh, what was the name of it?
You can probably Google it.
And why did they make a movie about it? It might have just been like a nightmare I had, honestly. But no, I swear.
Were you the man?
One of my past lives. I invented them.
It was me. The man in the mirror.
I knew Aya Coco was a liar.
Oh my god. Back to topic. In 1966, cars built in Europe were told they must now have front seat belts fitted. All the cars in Europe. That was like,
they were like, ah, this is ridiculous.
No more baskets. Padded dashboards also became mandatory, as well as front and rear lap belts with the and also white reverse lights. So I guess that's when they were changing the colors.
Like, what does this green light mean?
I don't know if you've ever heard of this car before, but a Jensen FF became the first car to feature an anti-lock brake system that was previously in aircrafts. Another airplane thing.
We did talk about... I talked about the Jensen.
Okay, I didn't know.
Or you talked about it. One of us did. We talked about ABS before.
I was about to say that sounds familiar, but I couldn't remember who did that.
I think it was a British car.
I don't know. I just know it was also for airplanes, too. Like, why... Like, okay, I get it. I get, like, airplanes needed the safety stuff first, but why did it take people so long to be like, we have all of these safety features in airplanes, yet we have none of them in cars?
You know why?
Why?
Because safety doesn't sell. That's what they said for, like, decades.
They did not.
Yeah. They're like, safety doesn't sell.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
And you want to know why safety doesn't sell?
Why? Because metal dashes are awesome?
Because men don't like safe things. Y'all would take the safety things and rip them out.
Okay,
and
so...
And be like, nah, we don't need this.
That being said, I had a 69 Beetle once.
Uh-huh.
And it had a padded dash, and mm-hmm. I really wanted a metal dash.
Mm-hmm. So you took the safety stuff out.
And it also had a three-point belt, and I really wanted lap belts. And I wanted low back seats, too. Yeah. Like, the more dangerous
so
the vehicle is, the cooler.
So you literally took all of the stuff out. Yeah. And that's exactly why.
See, if your seat doesn't snap your back and neck in a minor
collision. Oh, yeah, and if the seatbelt doesn't send you face first into your metal dash, I mean, what fun could you possibly be having?
Right, like, right?
Again, and it's funny, back to women invented the safety features of why we also tend to live longer.
No, you know what it was?
What?
Like, if someone's seen a car with, like, seatbelts and, like, a soft dash, you're like, that car got soft hands.
Yeah.
That car is a wimp.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's for my wife. I wouldn't be caught dead in that thing.
Yeah, that's a woman's car.
I swear to God.
How many glove boxes does it need?
In 1968, the first federal motor vehicle safety standards in the U.S. made it mandatory to have collapsible steering columns, side marker lights, front seat shoulder belts in all vehicles, and Volvo also introduced a front seat head restraints to protect the head and neck in a rear collision.
Shout out to Volvo.
Yeah, and weren't they also the ones with the seatbelt patent?
Yeah, they invented the seatbelt, and they're like, you can have it.
Yeah. They were pretty. That was pretty cool of them.
Right?
Crazy it took them so long, but still cool.
Well, yeah. Yeah, before then, it was like...
Well, then also, it's even though they invented it and they had it, men were still like, nah, we don't need this.
No, the seatbelt in that old Volkswagen, it was a three-point, but like, you use like a clip to like hold it up. It was really weird.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was like a big, it looked like a big metal hook. And like you pull the whole thing across.
No, it was.
Wasn't that the video I saw?
What are you talking about?
The video we had on this morning about it.
Oh.
It was the street seatbelt. And then halfway in the seatbelt, there was this metal clip. And the lady pulled it all the way across and it made it the 3-point. Where it went across her lap and it went across this way, but it was like this big metal clasp on it, and then she had to click it onto the thing.
You're just describing a normal seatbelt thing.
No, because it didn't have a push. It was like this big metal hook.
Oh, yeah, like an airplane seatbelt.
Yeah.
It was like clink.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You threw me off. I was like, you're just describing a normal seatbelt.
No,
my
no,
seatbelt
no.
is like that.
Yeah, the airplane, big metal hook.
Click.
Yeah. Ooh, heavy duty.
Yeah, not this plastic junk.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that
what's crazy.
Live.
What's crazy is that actually modern day seatbelts are more dangerous than seatbelts back in the day.
Really?
So when people got into accidents back in the day because of how the seatbelts were made, people were easily able to undo the seatbelt and get out of the car, need be. Nowadays, because they're so strict on the safeties for seatbelts, if you're, God forbid, upside down in a car with the seatbelt, you cannot get it undone. You can't click the button to get yourself out. It automatically locks in.
Yeah, it has like the pre-tensioner that...
Mm-hmm. And you are unable to get out of it. So if the car was on fire or hanging off of a cliff or whatever, you're unable to get out of the vehicle until someone comes to get you.
That's why lap belts and low backs is the coolest interior you could have.
I think we just need to go back to the less confusing and complicated seatbelts and go back to just the airplane, easy click out, big metal box.
The airplane? I might be onto something.
You get out of those. That's what they're made for, is easy quick release so that people can get out for safety reasons.
Yeah, but airplanes don't have 3 points.
No, but...
What's up with that?
Again, they didn't.
Weird.
Well, no, I also think that's because aren't the seats on airplanes now like flotation devices or something?
Your seat cushion may be used as a flotation device. I have heard that before. That's
and
a
I
fact.
Think that's why the buckles are the way they are.
Anyone
so
who's flying right now,
strapped to the buckle.
You're safe if you land in water. Maybe.
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 If you survive
the crash
in water.
We seen a couple weeks ago, we seen the plane that crashed on the Hudson.
Oh,
it
my
still
God.
Exists.
Yeah.
Like, that's not even a joke.
Cammy.
We're at a place, and they were like, yeah, that's the plane that crashed on the Hudson. It's like, what is it doing here?
Every 2 seconds.
How'd they get it there?
What happened to the plane?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. The toddler. Why'd the plane broken? It's like it crashed on the river.
What?
But the plane is... The plane broken.
Broken.
Like,
what happened to the front of the plane?
Same plane. It's huge. Can't miss it.
But that ends me in for the 1960s.
Picking up on the 70s. Oh, we probably should have explained that we're going by decades.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be a little late for that.
Yeah.
But in the 1970s, safety was still an option.
You still had a choice.
You still had a choice. GM was the first manufacturer to bring airbags to market in 1973 or 1974. Either or.
It seems like General Motors had, like, a lot to do with safety back in the day. Like, they were the first ones for a lot of things back then.
I didn't. This is just off the dome. Speaking of GM, yes, they had some of the safest vehicles, but they also had the most dangerous. the car that was unsafe at any speeds, if anyone wants to look up that book. And that kind of pushed safety mandates.
So they were
on both sides of the scale.
I have a car in here that was labeled one of the worst cards ever made, and it'll probably make you a little upset. What it is.
I'm looking forward to it. But, so, GM, yeah. First manufacturer to bring airbags to the market. Mm-hmm. Of course, has an option. You don't need them. You can option these airbags.
Yeah, the men. Y'all can pick whether or not.
First vehicle was the 1973 Oldsmobile Toronado. This option was known as the Air Cushion Restraint System, or ARCS.
Why did you say it like that?
I was going to say ACRS, but...
You were like, ARCS. It was called the ARCS.
But the ARCS system, in 1977, GM discontinued this due to lack of customer interest. So no more airbags. Y'all don't want them.
All the men, because women weren't allowed to order stuff back in the day. And all the men were like, nah, we don't need this.
I've seen, like, videos, like...
You know that's exactly
what I would like a new car. Well, you're going to have your husband come down here and order one for
you. Yeah, you know that's exactly how that
works.
You think
you could check boxes off on a piece of paper?
You think you can handle money?
You
can count? You
must be a witch!
You can count? Swear to God.
Joe and the Raven will be back. More to come after these messages. And now, ladies and gents, more Toolbox with Joe and Raven.
Okay, so airbags, you know, they're kind of like a bomb.
Yeah.
And so what happened to save money, they're like, we're going to make this out of like some cheap metal that rusts. And so when your airbag would go off, instead of like a bag, it was like a bag that also had
metal.
So it was like a pipe bomb. It was like a pillow with a pipe bomb behind it.
Jesus Christ.
And luckily they only put those in every vehicle ever made in the past 50 years.
Yeah, the most recalls in automotive history was for those airbags.
All of them. It wasn't brand specific. It was literally like 90% of vehicles sold had Takata airbags. I was fortunate enough to work at Ford during this, and they, like, sent out these letters like, hey, there's a recall, you need new airbags, you're gonna die. And so people would come in, they'd be like, where's my new airbags? And I'd be like, Ford doesn't have them yet. They don't even know what they're doing. Like, they don't exist yet. And they're like, what are we supposed to do? I'm like, I guess don't crash. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't die.
I can't get the old airbags because they're pipe bombs. And I can't get the new ones because they don't exist yet.
And I've seen too many videos while we're on this topic of guys taking airbags out of old cars and then putting them in places to play practical jokes on their friends when they sit on said airbag and it freaking launches them. Wherever.
It's funny. Seeing a buddy's spine get compressed.
I swear to God. Again, this is why we live longer.
Airbags are fun.
God, I'm glad you never played with any of the Takatas. So, in 2000, Iteris, I believe, I-T-E-R-I-S, Iteris? That just sounds weird. Developed the lane departure warning system for trucks. They first developed it in Europe, and it used visual, audio, and vibration warning alerts for the driver to know when they were leaving their lane. So the first driving assist.
Yeah, it was just like, hey man, stay in your own lane.
I was gonna say, isn't that what your work van has, where it, like, a noise goes off? And
not the Chevy Express, because they've been making the same van for 35 years.
Oh, okay.
My Ford van had lane keep that I turned off all the time. Because if there's debris in the road and you go to avoid it, it's like, nah, you're about to hit this.
I swear to God.
It is too dangerous for you to change lanes, sir.
When safety becomes a hazard. Continuing to 2001, the Renault's... The Renaults.
I'm an expert in French vehicles. The Renault Laguna.
Laguna. That's. I was going to pronounce it like lasagna.
The Renault Lasagna.
They became Euro's NCAP first five-star rated car in safety features.
The NCAP? A Renault? Yeah. Was the safe one?
It was the first five-star rated car.
Is it because the French always crash?
I don't know. Could that
if you're French.
No,
if,
and if I don't think French people don't crash. They just light cars on fire. That's a big thing in France.
Well, they don't crash, but they'll bump you. They'll let you know. They don't use their horns. They'll give you a little tappy tap.
Gotta say, I haven't seen a whole lot of crashes, but I've definitely seen, like, anytime there's, like, a revolution or, like,
it's every
or
other
a union.
Shout
like,
out to the French. Oh, my God. The French. They're, like, they're all about
rights and work and for the work people.
I don't know what happens in France.
They have a really big union. They're really unionized. They're, like... That's, if anyone's ever read the book Les Mis, they know why the French are the way they are. That whole book is just about the French people coming together to unionize against the French government who was overly taxing and, like, literally saying, like, no, y'all don't even deserve to go to hospitals to get health care, y'all don't deserve help with children or medicine, and y'all are just gonna work till you die, and that's all your purpose is like, for. And the French people are like... Nah, we're gonna kill you first before you kill us.
But we're gonna be wearing high vis while we do it. We want to be safe.
That's how you know whose side you're on.
I guess.
Continuing to 2004, Volvo introduced the blind spot indicator system, the BLIS, using cameras and motion sensors to avoid accidental collisions when driving. Or parking or switching lanes.
Yeah, blind spot is awesome.
And again, that was also by Volvo.
These guys.
Those guys. They're some pretty cool people. Continuing to 2005, Jaguar and Citroen developed the pop-up bonnet design to reduce pedestrian injury risk.
The heck does that mean?
The front of the car. The motor, the lid that goes on the motor.
No, I understand what a bonnet is.
Why couldn't I remember what a hood was? So you know how, like, if you don't click your hood down all the way and it'll fly up?
Yeah.
So they introduced that click, the mechanism that clicks the hood down.
In 2005?
Yeah, to keep it from flying up. Apparently, that wasn't standard in all vehicles to have that.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was a different, yeah. It wasn't standard yet.
Every vehicle I've ever owned has had that. Wait, did my Tahoe? I don't think the Tahoe had that.
I don't know.
I don't think the Tahoe had that. You had to slam the bejesus out of that hood. Mm-hmm.
Well, this was to make it easier for pedestrians. Or for people.
I don't understand how that helps pedestrians, though.
I don't know.
Does the hood pop
up
and catch them?
I guess.
It detects a crash and it's like, gotcha.
Imagine walking
and
a car
comes. It opens and pops them back onto the sidewalk.
I was about to say, imagine a car is coming down the road and you're walking. And as you walk past the car, the hood pops up.
Better open the hood.
The hood pops up and hits you.
It's like one of the old Herbie movies.
I swear.
Chomp.
Just grabs the person off the sidewalk.
Herbie the love bug craves humans.
They also developed something for a lane departure system that now appears in the Citroen C4, C5, and C6.
Those are all cars that we don't get here.
Aw, that's no fun.
Yeah, we don't get no Citroens. We used to get some Renaults.
I like a Renault. I don't know if it's because of the name or the badge, but I like
the Renaults. So, the older I get, the more I want an old Citroen with the Citroen suspension. Please call in and write in and say how I'm pronouncing it wrong. I'm not pronouncing it like the French because I'm not French. It doesn't make any sense. So, like, if you're like, oh, yeah, I went down to Dunkin' Donuts, I got a croissant. You got a croissant.
Croissant.
Why are you putting this? Every other word you're saying is English. And you get this French twang on it. Doesn't make any sense.
croissant.
I don't know where I was going with that.
You just tangent.
Yes. But I want an old Citroen.
Citroen. Continuing to 2008, the Volvo again.
These guys.
Introduced. Hold on.
You want me to try reading it?
No! I know big words. Autonomous?
Autonomous?
Hey! Hip-hop-anonymous? Hey, it's still better than hat than what, narcs? Or what?
That's what it is, narcs.
Emergency braking for people with small words.
I thought you were going to say people with small feet.
It was introduced on an XC60.
It's like a SUV.
Oh, okay.
Of the Volvo variety.
But it was automatic braking to help drivers. I don't think I spelled that word right. To prevent collisions when the sensors pick up on oncoming vehicles. So it's like if you were going to like swerve into a lane and didn't see a car coming, it would alert you and move you back over if a car was coming up in your blind spot.
No. Hit the brakes. If you were like gonna run into the back of something, hit the brakes. There's a famous video of this car.
Mm-hmm.
And they were testing it at the dealership. And it just plowed into a guy.
Oh my god. Didn't they do that on Top Gear with James May in front of a car? Or
did
Clarkson's?
They
were testing to see, and Clarkson's car stopped, but May's didn't. It was something funny like that.
And they hit someone?
Yeah, they hit May. They didn't hit him hard, but they hit him.
I don't remember. That sounds terrible.
No, it was funny.
What episode was that?
No, they had a bet if their car, because the two of them had it. And Clarkson was like, there's no way yours works.
Oh, he ran into May's car.
Yeah, and his stopped, but May's didn't.
I was like, what episode did they run down James May? No, it was one of the last. It was one of the last Top Gears.
Yeah.
And yeah, Clarkson went to pull in, and it applied the brakes because it seen a bush. Yeah. And then he went to do it again, and he just ran into May's car. He was like, oh. Oh, I forgot about that episode.
Yeah. See, it doesn't always work.
Yeah, don't put all your faith in it.
Okay.
Wrapping up with the 2010s.
With the 2010s. Wait, I had one more.
Oh, I don't know. All right.
Okay.
So, the 2010s. I thought that said loop. The next leap in safety features of the 2010s included mandating of backup cameras. Because, God forbid, you use your mirrors in your eyeballs. Oh, that being said, one of my buddies backed into a pole the other day. And
you ain't got no room to speak.
What?
I will never forgive you for what you did to my poor Honda.
Sometimes, I hit stuff in other people's vehicles.
Always my vehicles.
Because I don't pay attention a lot.
No, it's because you're blind.
No, the dog was in the dog. So my dog's big, dumb head was just looking up at me as I'm backing up, blocking a pole. And I just back into the only pole for miles. And there's just people looking at me like, what is wrong with this guy? And of course, you're like, Did you not see that pole? Like, no, I didn't see that pole. That's why I backed into it. There's a dog in the way. The dog is twice as wide as that pole is.
I'm just hearing excuses.
I would like to formally apologize to that pole. The safety, so 2010's like nothing happened. I couldn't find any like new requirements besides the backup cameras.
Yeah.
The safe vehicles from this era consisted of sedans like the Chrysler Sebring with optional stability control, the Ford Fusion, and the Hyundai Sonata with the 2010 Subaru Impreza being the overall safety pick from IIHS. Some of the most dangerous vehicles from the 2010s. Chrysler PT Cruiser. I didn't know they still sold them in the 2010s, honestly. I thought they quit in 05.
Yeah.
No, they still made them. That's also probably why they weren't really safe. This is like an old design, you know?
Yeah.
Old design. They were basically trying to make it look like a car from the 30s.
Just have the car from the 30s. You already got the
template. Yeah, you already made one in the 30s. Just make it again.
I swear to God. Why is that so hard for people?
Another one. This one surprised me. The Cadillac STS, which is a large sedan, had poor rear impact scores.
Mm-hmm.
Also an old design. I didn't know they were still selling the STS in 2010. I thought they quit in 95.
Yeah.
The Chevy Aveo, which makes sense why they only made them for a couple years.
I was about to say, I don't even think I've heard of an Aveo.
It's like a mini car. It's like a car. It's like a small car.
I don't like mini cars.
Well, this one wasn't too good if you get hit from the side and it would roll over. It would just roll over if you turned, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another one, the Grand Marquis. They were still selling them in 2010. Guess what? They weren't too good because they were from the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so outdated cars weren't too good. Arguably the unsafest from the 2010s was the Kia Soul. Often cited as one of the lowest crash test rated vehicles for its decade. The Soul had poor head protection. In crash tests, the dummy's head would slide off the airbag on small overlap crash testing. So it would just kind of hit the metal part. The Kia Soul also had structural concerns with the slight overlap crash test. Also, the IIHS indicated that there is little to no improvement with the newer Kia Soul models. So they're like, oh, it's the worst one? Okay, we're not listening. We're going to keep making them.
I got a little tidbit. Just wrapping it up, everything over here.
What you got?
Just that over time, vehicle safety has gotten better as time has progressed, of course. We're always learning from our mistakes. Always improving to keep people safe on the road, from better airbags to even seatbelt safeties. We have even been giving new accessories to not only help us with safety, but also just to make driving more comfortable. Such as electronic stability, aims to reduce spin outs and plow outs, backup cameras, blind spot warnings, driver assist, you know, all these fancy bells and whistles. But nothing's going to replace people just being aware of your surroundings. Yes. You can have all the bells and whistles that you want all day long, but nothing's going to replace you just paying attention.
Yes.
Be aware. Look around. Don't be on your phone. Don't be fixing your makeup. Don't be doing your hair.
Use your turn signal.
Yeah, use your daggum turn signal. It's there for listening. A reason.
For the love of God, if you are about to miss your turn,
don't cut across.
Just keep going straight.
Yeah,
you can make the next turn.
Or even slow down and get behind the line of traffic. Don't try to cut through everybody.
Believe it or not, there's more than one way to get places.
I swear to God, yeah. I can't get anywhere without getting lost. I'd get lost going down a straight line road, but I still know to turn around and just head back.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be okay. Don't freak out. Calm down. Use your signals and just be safe.
Yeah. Y'all be safe. Thank you for listening to The Toolbox and for listening to 97.7 WVFF. Y'all stay safe out there. Put on your seatbelts and your turn signals.
Keep it cranking.
Bye.
We thank you for staying tuned to The Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, The Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.